Amen. If you turn in your Bible then with me tonight, let's turn again, as Pastor Jeremy said, to the scriptures. I'm going to read just a little portion from Luke chapter 2, verse 36, 38. Is that what you said? Not what I said yet? Normally I read what's in front of it and behind it, but today I'm just going to center in. Follow along with me as I read to you. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him, that is Jesus, to all those who had looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. In my church right now, I'm preaching through the Gospel of Luke. Okay, I don't like to do anything small, so we try to do things, take a small gospel and go for it. No. So we're looking at, and our theme for the year is Jesus. I desire that my people should know Jesus. Not simply in a saving sense, but if I was to ask you, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about His life. Tell me, at what part did He do this? Or who did He talk to? What were His words? Because we read the Bible and we're familiar kind of with Jesus. Kind of know what He said. But if I was to ask you, tell me, from the Scriptures, if we have an unsaved person, a churchless person, who didn't know anything, and they were to ask you, tell me about Jesus, could you tell them about Jesus? Could you speak to them? And when you did, would you kind of, mom and dad, and you died on the cross. Or would you be able to speak with joy and passion? Would you be able to point and say, do you know, and do you know He did this? And through these men, and He spoke to them, and He put them in His place, and by doing that, oh, we see these glories and this wonder. It is my ambition as a pastor, as an elder in my church, that my people should be so in love with Him, so impassioned by Him, that their minds will be a little bit like mine. Always moving. And if you know anything about Finland, you know that's a difficult ambition to achieve, because Finnish people are very, very quiet. Very culturally, they're not we, I'm not culturally quiet, but they're very kind of. Indeed, when you meet a Finnish person in the street and you go to say hello, they look away quickly, you know. And indeed, a greeting in Finland would be this. That's a full conversation right there. And so, I have an ambition, a fire in my soul. I want our people not to be cultural Christians. That is dictated by their culture in order they are who they are because everybody else is like that and we just carry on. I want us, our culture, to be the culture of the Bible. To be Christian culture. That we're on fire. And I know that's dangerous words there, people. Ooh, fire now. You're getting excited. Calm down, Pastor. But we're on fire. We're excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. And a few weeks ago I was preaching through this particular text, and this is one of those texts that's really hard to preach. You know, you're kind of like, it's a little insert story and it kind of moves on. It's a speed bump to another story. But the more I studied this, the more I began to get excited about this little lady. The more that this little lady began to speak to me, and she got a hold of me and I couldn't get away from her. And if I could have, you know, a kind of photo build, an example, it would be this lady. I want to be this lady. I want to be that old person in church just full of fire. When I came to Christ many, many years ago now, I have to say that I'm old. Many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, I would go to the prayer meeting in the mornings. And I was 16 years old, almost 17. And everybody in the prayer meeting were well over
70. Well over 70. I was the youngest there by many, many years. And had been that way for over 30 years. It was only the older people in the church who were in the morning prayer meetings. I would go then, and I would stand amongst them. And in my excitement, because the Lord saved me. And I was saved, and I wanted to pray, and I was praying for my family who don't know Him. And these old, wonderful Christians who had been in the church 30, 40 years, steadfast pillars. Now, they've all gone to be with the Lord now. But they were, I remember one particular lady, and this lady, Anna, reminds me of the lady. Her name was Mrs. McGinnis. If you can imagine, a little Irish lady about this tall, thick bottom glasses, you know, the really thick ones, the purple hair, love her. A paper clip has more weight than this lady did. She was 93, and she still drove her car. That was another story altogether. And in the church, she was just a little quiet lady. You know all these ladies that have the little bag of candy? Ladies, if you have a bag of candy, I'm your man, okay? And she would give the kids a piece of candy, and she would say, she would encourage them to trust in Jesus. She'd been a believer since she was a child, all her life growing up in church. And in the church service, in church life, just a very quiet lady. In the prayer meeting, my goodness, I remember, and I don't know how you guys feel about ladies praying in church. In this church, all the men were dead, and all was left was ladies, more or less. There was one gentleman left. And this lady would come up, I remember the very first time, and she came up, and she was like, "Oh, God loves you, son." That's how Irish ladies talk, I don't know if you do it here. "Oh, God loves you, son. Welcome to..." And then she got a hold of me. You know, this grip, like death, you know, this, I'm not letting go. And she put her hands on me, and she began to pray, "Lord, raise them up." You know, and just, she just prayed. Just went for it. Wasn't going to let go. And then the other ladies kind of came forward. And I saw something in those ladies that I have never been able to shake. A love for Jesus that did not diminish. A fire that only increased. Mrs. McGinnis, and I'm sure this lady here, Anna, they were not physically able to do very much. But when this lady began to intercede and to pray, oh my goodness, heaven stopped and started listening. I want to be that lady. I want to be that lady. And when we look at this portion of Scripture, I'm a great one for believing. If you want to know how to go forward, you need to know what happened. You need to look back and know what happened in the past in order to avoid it happening again in the future. Or to get on. And here in this portion of Scripture, we have a great portrait of an Old Testament saint. She's one who's looking forward to the Messiah. He hasn't come yet. Or he has, if you know what I mean. She's looking forward, believing that God will answer. God will fulfill His promise in the sending of a Messiah. Dark days in Israel then. We all know. Dark days. But God had His remnant, His people. If you read a little bit before this, you see John the Baptist's parents, again, elderly people, wonderfully so. You see Simeon, the priest, the remnant of God all gathered there, powerful. Want to be that way. I don't want the fire that I have. Now, I consider myself young. I'm 42. But I think, I'm still very vibrant, very loud. I don't think that'll ever change. But when I'm older, when I have walked this path for a time, I do not want the love that I had for the Lord Jesus Christ to diminish. I want to know Him better. And the more I know Him, the more I want to love Him. And as we're looking at this little lady, this wonderful prophetess, very unusual title for a lady in the Bible. She gives us insights. She gives us encouragements, direction of how you and I then are to live our lives, how we are to be as Christians, to step outside our cultural norms, to be free in that sense in our Christianity. The first thing I would have you to see was, we know that she was a woman of great age, okay? Now it's debatable, you know yourself, it's debatable how old this was she. It says here that she'd been a widow of 84 years. Now does that mean that she was 84 years old? Or does it mean that she had been widowed 84 years old? We don't know. If she had been widowed 84 years old, it puts her well over 100. Which is possible. But it's just one of those things we don't know. What we do know is she was a lady of great age. Why is that important? It takes time. The things I'm saying to you tonight will not come overnight. You're not going to step up and say, you know what? Ha ha! Fart, I'm going to be Swedish to you now. We're going to get really into it. Right away, immediately, we're going to love Jesus as much as we can and go exuberant and crazy. It's nothing about that. We're not saying going from 0 to 100 overnight. Consistent. Growing. Developing. Jeremy has an oak tree outside his garden. I could sit there for hours and look at that oak tree. Oak trees. We don't have oak trees where I live. We have pine trees. Pine trees. Takes 20 years for a pine tree to mature. Did you know that? They're the fast food of trees. Okay? Straight away, it's done. Takes an oak tree how many years? 80 years? 150 years to mature? I could sit there all day and consider it. Do you know an oak tree is as big underneath as it... I'm sure you all know this. As big underneath as it is above. Takes time. There's an old finished proverb that says, the tree that grows the fastest in the forest is usually the first to fall. So we're not talking that the Christian life is a flash in the pan or an immediate thing, or it's all the young people's thing. It's all the loud Irishman thing. We're not like that. Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Our life and our love for Christ is not to diminish with age. It's to increase. This lady, whether she had been widowed 84 years or she was 84 years old, but she'd been married 7 years. That's from her virginity. I don't know if you know, I don't know if Jeremy's told you, or you're very... In Israel, in the ancient world in that time, the legal age for a young woman to get married was 14 to 15. For a young man, it was 15 to 17, because boys are slower than girls. So Joseph and Mary, Mary would have been about 15 years old, Joseph would have been about 17. Kids, oh my goodness. So she would have been married, this lady Anna, from she was about 14, 15. She lived together with her husband 7 years and he died, so she's in her early 20s when he dies. She goes through a mourning period. She goes to the temple. She lives her life now, not looking back in regret, not looking back pining and whining over the husband that is lost, but with a woman whose eye is upon the resurrection. I will one day meet my husband again. In death, or when Christ, or when God raises us up in the resurrection. Here's a woman whose eye is on eternity. She's no longer living for the life path, but her eyes, her attention is focused on the future. She's a woman in love with God. Her hope is in her Lord. I think that's fantastic. I want to be a person whose eyes and understanding and attention is focused upon eternity. Not just here and now. I have 6 boys and a wife and a dog. A job, a church, in-laws, God bless them. So many things seek to keep my attention and my focus upon this time and this life. And they want to draw my attention away from my hope and my passion and my love and my Savior. I have to cultivate that spirit. You can tell this little old lady, it didn't come natural. It wasn't a thing that she stepped in and automatically she's 83 years old or however old she was. There was a faithful life lived. We see here that she did not depart from the temple. She was a woman all about the things of God, all about the Lord. Her heart was for God. So much so that she just never went home, you know. She just stayed there. And I was saying this to Jeremy, consider that. It was a legal obligation for all Israeli men, or what I call them, Jews, that's what we call them, isn't it? Jews, that they had to go and worship at the temple in Jerusalem 3 times a year. Now, most men did it 1 time a year, but it was legally required at least 3. People would go up and worship at the temple. Every time you went to the temple, every time everybody went to the temple, this lady was there. It says morning and evenings, which means she was at the morning sacrifice, and that she was at the evening sacrifice. She was there worshipping God. Faithful. Resolute. Think about that. Whether she was a widow for 84 years, was it 84 years, 83 years? 84 years. Being at the temple 84 years, or being at the temple for 60 years? Now, I have a very, very young church. There's only one man older than me. He's only 48. I'm only 42. That means all of my life she would have been there. Every time I went to the temple as a child, as an adolescent, as a married man, and then as an older man, as a man of my own age, every time I went to worship the temple, there she would have been. Worshipping God, interceding, crying out. Faithful. The woman became a legend. You know she became a legend because the Holy Spirit put her in the scriptures. She's a reference point. Everybody knows this woman. Everybody's familiar with her. And everybody acknowledges her godliness. So much so that the Holy Spirit caused the writer to include her in the scriptures. How challenging and wonderful is that? Should we not cultivate? Now, she's an Old Testament saint looking towards the Messiah. We're New Testament saints looking back towards our Messiah, but also with an eye on the second coming. Her passion was great. Her commitment, her faithfulness, her steadfastness, fantastic. She's a widow. She's got no one to support her. Her life is very fragile, and yet we see her in the temple. Worshipping. We who have been given more light, we who know the Savior and have had our sins forgiven and are blessed, even having a measure of the Holy Spirit, fullness of the Holy Spirit within us, should our passion, our love, not somehow in some way reflect this woman's? Is she bigger and better than us? Does she have more of the truth than we do? Do you have an excuse? Do you have a reason why you couldn't? This woman's faithful, day and night, always in the temple. Now, we don't have a temple. This is not a temple. This is a meeting place. In the New Testament, we are the temple. We are the dwelling place of God. And if we are to be faithful as this lady, it doesn't mean coming to all the meetings. It means being a person who is passionate about the church. In my church, I teach my people, you tell me that you love Jesus. How do I know if you love Jesus? Well, I love him. You can't see him in my heart.
I love him. I said, really?
Because if you love Jesus, then you must be a affectionate, passionate, concerned about his body here on earth. His body here on earth? The church. You tell me you love Jesus. What is your relationship to the church? Are you a server? Do you worship and love Lord Jesus Christ by loving his body? By doing all you can to help? Doing all that you can to bless people and encourage them in their life? Upholding them and strengthening them? Is there somebody who has a need? Do you go and help them? Or do you like, well, we'll see how it works. Somebody else will probably do it, you know? Well, are you passionate? Are you faithful to him in his temple? Do you love one another? Because if you tell me that you love Jesus, if you tell me that you're a Christian, and yet there is no passion for him in his body. Do you mumble and grumble? We Christians are great at that. I train martial arts. I think Christians are sometimes with black belts and moaning and groanings. Do you build up or do you tear down? Are you a person concerned and in love with Christ? Then we see in the next part, she served God with fastings and prayers. And this speaks so greatly to me. Are we about serving God? Christian, do you serve God? Well, I would like to serve God. Well, Jeremy serves God, and that's good enough for us. Jeremy does it for us by proxy. Bless him. We are to serve God. This little lady, she was at a stage when she was so probably frail in her body that the extent of her serving God came down to fasting and prayer. It was required of Jews back then to fast twice a week. It was required of them. Mondays and Thursdays. This little old lady must have been doing something so exceptional that it was included in the scriptures. The assumption here, and I hate using that, is that her serving God was something greater than just Mondays and Thursdays. There was something more. She was giving her whole self into this. That is why we are told she's serving God. Now you tell me, well, there's not much I can do, you know? There's not much I can do. I can't really serve God that much. Well, this lady was reduced simply to fastings and prayers. Oh my goodness, what a terrible, horrible thing to have to do. Serving the Lord, all I can do is fast and all I can do is pray. Oh, I'm sorry. Please, God, raise up people like this. You know, I love my history. I'm a history nerd. I know I don't look it, but I keep it well hidden. And one of the things I love reading about is revivals. And one of my favorite revivals is the revival of 1949, I think it was 1953, in the Outer Hebrides, the island of Lewis. Does anyone know it? You can nod your head if you do. Thank you very much. There, God used a man called Duncan Campbell. And he moved through the Outer Hebrides. The Lord moved through the Outer Hebrides. And if you ever get the chance, listen to the accounts of it on YouTube. It's amazing what God did in those islands. But before Duncan Campbell, the preacher, ever got there, the Lord was moving on the island. You see, there were two sisters. One called Peggy and the other called Christina Smith. Peggy was blind, and she was stuck in her chair. Christina had arthritis and couldn't walk, and the two of them would sit in their wee chairs in front of the peat fire, knitting. And all they would do all day was sing psalms and pray. And they didn't have any appetites, so they didn't eat anything. Maybe a wee bowl of porridge. They were Scottish. I don't know what Scottish people eat. Haggis and Scottish. And all they did, seriously, all these people did, all these two ladies did in the Outer Hebrides was pray. Duncan Campbell himself says, never say that I brought revival to these islands. God forbid. If the Lord used anybody, it was Peggy and Christina. Because these ladies prayed for their people. They prayed for the church. They prayed for the islands. They prayed for the nation. Please, God, send us a man and clothe them in power. Please, God, send us a man and clothe them in power. Do you serve God? Well, I can't do very much. I can't do very much. There's not very much I can do. Can you pray? Can you get serious about prayer? Can you serve the Lord by interceding? See, this lady, the Lord raised her up in order that Israel might be prepared for the coming of the Christ. It wasn't an accident that she just happened to be there at this time, interceding and praying and fasting and preparing the ground. The Lord had his remnant and they were crying out. I'm asking you today, are you serving the Lord? Are you serious about it? Or are you just at the fair? Enjoying the ride, taking it easy. Or you're looking around saying, oh, what's that person doing? You're more concerned about what your neighbor's doing than what you're doing. You're more concerned looking back and saying, you know, it was better in my day when we were young. I do that a lot, actually. Or are you taken up with serving God? Would you give your life, your heart, your soul? All I can do is pray, Kyle. Please pray. You know, all I can do is fast. And fasting, that's a whole world right there. The Bible says, Jesus said, when you pray, when you fast, Christian, believer, lover of Lord Jesus Christ, one who must obey his commandments. Do you pray and do you fast? When you pray, when you fast. It is something I think we have lost. It is something that I think we're more so afraid of the charismaniacs and the penal wannabes, you know. In my country, they call them Pentabaptists or Bapticostals, you know. With their crazy praying and their crazy fasting, and we're very sensitive about being extreme, aren't we? We don't want to be seen as being extreme, being too Christian or being fanatical. Fanatical. But Jesus said, when you pray. Jesus said, when you fast. We're given an intimate picture of an old lady that the Lord used. And we're told by the Holy Spirit that she served God to the best of her abilities. Would you take up that challenge? Would you act on it? I want to serve God. I do with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to serve God. I want to give my life, but am I willing to be obedient? Am I willing to pour out my heart, my life? Do your parents have kids? Do you pray for your kids? I know, I would assume, and I believe the majority of you here pray for your children, but do you pray for your children? Not just, dear Lord, bless little Sammy tonight. May he know you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. But do you sneak off to the secret place? I live in the forest. I invite all of you to come to Finland and come and visit us, okay? And you'll see, we live in the forest. And I go out into the forest and I will seek God in the forest. I do my David Brainerd. If you know who David Brainerd was, he did the same. Go off into the forest in the snow. And I will go, and I will cry out to God. And there are times when it's hard and I don't want to. It's cold, there's snow. It's dark. I'm afraid that the neighbors will walk past and hear me praying in the dark and think there's a madman out there. But I have 6 boys. And I live in a godless country where there are very few Christians. I said this to Pastor Jeremy today. There are probably more Christians in this room than there are in our entire county of 11,000 people. My boys will grow up in a culture that promotes sex. They're going out like little lambs amongst wolves. They're being taught about homosexuality in school and all the rest of them. Bombarded continually with a worldly message. And I feel sometimes overwhelmed. Outmatched. Feels like I'm fighting 3 or 4 black belts at one time. Juggling chainsaws. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to win? How am I supposed that my boys' lives will change? Am I praying for them? Am I fasting for them? Am I seeking God for them in a way that is pouring out my heart? And I use my boys as an illustration, but are you serving God, people? Are you serving God? Are you looking after one another and loving one another and have a heart for one another? Seeking to build each other up and support one another? Demonstrating how much you love Jesus by how much you love the person sitting over there or the person sitting over there? Showing initiative, taking love. You know, I love my wife. My wife had to wait every time, you know, she'd say, well, tell me that you love me. Love you. Tell me that you love me. Love you. She doesn't have to wait for me to tell her that I love her. I do it regularly all the time. Right? That's the kind of guy I am. Don't buy flowers though. Okay, sorry. There is this, I show initiative. I take initiative. I tell my wife how much I love her. I demonstrate that. Are you demonstrating how much you love Christ by loving each other? Are you demonstrating to one another how much you love Christ by loving? My church is called Agape Church. I didn't pick the name, I really did it, but hey. It means love. The signature gift, calling, demonstration of that a person is a Christian is that they love God. When I was an unbeliever, I did not love God. When I was an unbeliever, you wouldn't have got my dead body in a church. Now that I am a believer, I love God and I love to be with His people. Are you passionate about His temple, His people, His body? Are you serving Him in the best of your ability? Whatever you can. Are you praying for the people in church? And for the kids in church? For the ladies in church? For the men in church? I don't mean public prayer so much. I mean the sneaking off to the quiet place. The 5, 10, 15 minutes. I say that, but when you begin, it becomes 2, 3, 4 hours. You think I'm exaggerating? Wait till you get there. Do you fast? Jews were required to fast Mondays and Thursdays. Now, we are not under that sense of law, but we still have a requirement. Jesus did say, didn't he? Are we so afraid of being religious, of being called religious, of being thought weird? How much more weirder can we get, people? Come on, really. That we have excluded this wonderful gift that God has given us to be able to approach Him and to be serious with Him and to serve Him. This little lady has a lot to say to you and to me. Are you just casual in your acquaintance with Christ? Are you casual? Jewish men, only Jewish men, ladies. The ladies came with them, but it was Jewish men who were legally required to go to the temple. And for the most, it was just a day out. It was like we're going to conference. Yeah, breaking the wives. And they would go out and it would be casual. They did what was required and then they had the rest of the day free, basically. Is that your relationship to Christ? You do what's required and the rest of the day is free? Oh, people, I would have my people, I would have you people loving Jesus all the more. I would have you taken up with Him. Starry-eyed and goo-goo over Him. Not in a charismaniac, wild, foolish way. He is the Savior of your soul. He saved you from an eternity of darkness. Has He not poured out His love enough? I would have you taken up. And this little lady is a wonderful demonstration of what's possible and of what we should be aspiring to. Be that little lady. I want to be that little lady. One who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Never gives up, never gives in. Cultivates this life of faithfulness, dedication, service. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that the older you get doesn't necessarily mean the worse it's going to get. Doesn't mean that you're less useful to Christ. Doesn't mean that Christianity is just a young person's thing. Nonsense. Ridiculousness. Oh, to be that person who has walked with Christ 40 years. I'm very envious. I'm very envious. And to be able to know the Word. To be able to be able to communicate the glories of Christ. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. I am looking forward to that day. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you in that day? I notice there's some silver haired people here. I don't only have that. It's a wonder to have an intergenerational church. But what a privilege has been given to you people who have walked with Christ, who have known His blessing, have had your prayers answered and seen the demonstration of His love time and time and time again, have witnessed His saving power, called by Him to be a part of what He is doing. When you consider how many people don't know Him, and yet He chose you, He chose me to be a part of what He's doing here, to represent Him, to demonstrate His love being poured out. What a privilege has been given to you. What a privilege has been given to you. But also there's a great sense of duty there, isn't there? Are you not the ones who should be leading the way? Are you not the ones who should be holding up the fellowship, mentoring and teaching the younger ones, the young people? I'd point to myself. Has not a great responsibility been put upon you to speak to your dear friend, our Savior, on behalf of the children and of the parents, of the pastor and of his family? What a privilege. What a terrible responsibility. Then also, in the last verse, it says, "And coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all who looked for redemption." Isn't it wonderful to know that evangelism isn't just for the young? Isn't it wonderful to know that it's not just for the young men of the church to get out there and slay dragons and pull down castles and win things? Evangelism is for those who love the Lord. For those who know Him and are waiting upon Him and are excited about Him. Who have been saved by Him. All of us, as a little lady, when I was in New Zealand many, many years ago, I had the privilege of preaching in a Maori church there. And there was this little old lady, I mean, she was like a stick with a wig. It was just She was just a tiniest little lady you ever met. Wonderful. Little Maori lady. And then if you know Maori people, they're slightly bigger people, you know, corpulent. And they play these little tiny guitars, which makes them look even bigger. And I was preaching this church, and this little lady had came and gave a testimony, and she said, you know, she'd wanted to say something, so the pastor's, they call them grandmother there, would you like to come up? And she came up, and she said, I just wanted to tell you that all my Christian life, she said, you know, I've always been in this church. All my Christian life, I've wanted to tell people about Jesus, but I've never dared. I've never had the courage. I've never spoken about my faith in public before. But grandmother, you've been here more than anyone else. And she says, I've always been afraid. This is the lady who made the coffee. This is the lady who made the tea. This is the lady who took Sunday school. This is the lady who was part of church life. And she had this unfulfilled desire. She wanted to share the gospel with somebody. But she didn't think she could. She didn't think she should. She was afraid that she might offend someone or something. And he said, well, what happened? She said, on Monday after your sermon, I was standing by the bus stop going to get my pension. And a young lady came with their headphones and they're very respectful of their elderly there. And the little lady said, I just thought, I'm going to do it. And I put my hand upon the little girl's arm, young woman's arm, and the girl said, yes, grandmother. And not a Christian lady. She says, can I tell you about Jesus? And the girl was like, of course, grandmother, because it wouldn't be disrespectful. And the woman began to pour out her life, 70 years worth, you know, the desire to witness, burst forth on this poor woman. And the woman was like, okay. And something happened. God convicted that young woman of her sins. Do you know what else happened? The man who was standing next to the woman being witnessed to began to listen. And as he was listening, he then, because he was a biker with face tattoos and all that, got convicted of his sins. And he moved over and began to listen. And the more people came to listen, the more people came to stand waiting for the bus, the little lady just bubbled up. Just burst. A dam that would never be filled or be closed again. She began to witness and share. Four people that morning, a Monday morning, before 8 o'clock in the morning, gave their lives to Jesus. And the pastor said to her, well, mother, grandmother, where are these people? And why did you stop? And she says, oh, I brought them with me. And there they were. I saw them. Biker guy, looks scary. Young, beautiful young woman who was an executive and something. And some school kids. And they said, well, why did... And the pastor said, why did you stop witnessing? She said, oh, I haven't stopped. But now I'm discipling. We're having Bible study every morning. I want to be that. We should be that. There's no reason. Christianity doesn't diminish. It gets bigger and brighter. The more you know Him, the more you will love Him. The more you will want to serve Him. And when you get the opportunity, you will tell whoever is there. Teddy Roosevelt, I'm a collector of quotes, okay? So excuse me. Teddy Roosevelt said, do whatever you can with whatever you have, wherever you are. It's a great lesson for you and me. Evangelism isn't just for the young. It's for the saved. It's for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a young man's thing. I hate that. I was brought up to believe that. It's for believers. So, this woman, she's a great picture for you and I. So the necessity of being faithful day and night, of being people who are about the body of Christ, demonstrating our love for Christ by demonstrating our love for one another. by being active in it, by demonstrating a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, by serving God. Prayer and fasting. That's the least you could do, isn't it? Whatever skills the Lord has given you. In my church, we've been very blessed with computer people and music people and tech people. And they said, well, we can't do anything. I'm like, what? Come on. Whatever the Lord has given you to do, use what you have in order to glorify Him. Don't be slow. Don't be saying, oh, Pastor Jeremy hasn't asked me to do anything. Go to Jeremy and say, Jeremy, I have a desire in my heart. I want to do this. Can I do this? Help me to learn to do this. I want to do this, Jeremy. Help me to serve God. Ha ha. Is it door-to-door work? I'm frightened. Oh, I'm frightened. Evangelism isn't for the young. It's not for just the young man. It's not even for just men. It's for saved people. Seek the Lord. Be faithful in loving Him. Serve Him. And talk about Him. Communicate. There is no one like our Lord. He died for you and me. People. Your sins were blacker than black. Now you're all good people. I'm sure you're all lovely, nice people. But Jesus defined it really, didn't he? If you hate somebody in your heart that committed murder, you're a murderer. If you look upon a person of the opposite sex with lust in your heart, you're an adulterer. Jesus said that, man, not me. Do you have pride? I'm so grateful I'm not like that person down that road. Oh my goodness, in that church they do this and they do that and we're not like them. Real God, hallelujah. Pride. Jesus Christ died for you and for me, for those of us who would believe, for everyone who would call upon Him. That salvation is available. It's for everyone who would come. This week we've talked about that I am willing, Jesus said, be cleansed. And He was talking to the leper. It wasn't a leper, wasn't it? Help me, brother. I said to Jeremy in passing, I think that verse should be written on the front of every pulpit. Jesus is willing. For everyone who would call upon Him, there is salvation, forgiveness of sins and newness of life. The old will pass away and something new will be birthed from it. Whether your sins are outward sins, whether you've lived a godless life on this earth, or whether you have been a moral person, a Pharisaic person, a religious person, a good person by the world standards, but yet inwardly you are still rotten by the standard of God. For everyone who would call upon Him, there is salvation. Look to Him. If you don't know the life I'm talking about, if you've never experienced the joy of having your sins forgiven, knowing the life and the freedom and the fullness that comes from having fellowship with God, I would encourage you to seek Him. I would encourage you to speak to Him. Call out to Jesus. Don't stop until the Spirit of God takes your cold, dead, stony, sinful heart, plucks it from your chest, and places a new heart therein. You say, well, Kai, I don't think I would be able to live the Christian life. Yes, that's right. You would never be able to live the Christian life in your own power. That is why you need Him to help you. And He is willing. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have never enjoyed the life that we've been talking about, I encourage you, I implore you, seek Him before the time is too late. For we who are believers, where are you? What are you doing? Is your focus too much upon this life? Upon the intrigues? The conspiracies? Or do you have an eye upon eternity? Upon resurrection? Upon the coming of Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You tell me, yes, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you faithful to a church? A body of believers? Do you serve Christ by serving your brothers and sisters? Do you do all that you can? Do you all that you can? Even down to simply praying and fasting? Oh, I would have you love Jesus. I would have you love Jesus. He's not just in emotion, but in your action. I would have you be passionate about Him and enjoy the blessing of knowing Him. In order that when you have this, you might speak about Him. That you might be unashamed. I desperately want to see a church that is unashamed of the gospel. A church that is unashamed of the gospel. I'm not talking about organization, I'm talking about you people, us. That we would be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we joyfully and happily proclaim it. We wouldn't kind of go, gosh, no, I guess I should share the gospel. How am I going to do it? What am I going to do? What should I do? But there would be a freedom there. We would rush in like fools. Jesus loves you. He's the one who has the power to change you and your life and to restore back to you and make something from your broken down, rotten, desperate life. He can transform you and change you and make you new. Wouldn't it be great if we Christians were like that? If we had the joy and the courage enough to say that. I'm not saying being exuberant and charismaniac. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about people who are genuinely in love and enthusiastic about the truth. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us as always. Our Father, in this short encouragement and exhortation, I would ask you, Father, that you would move in our hearts. We do seek to be doers of the word, not simply hearers of the word. We do, Father, want to be those who bear fruit, Lord. And we know that there will be some who bear 40 and some 60 and some 100-fold. But Lord, we would be those who bear 100-fold. We do not want to come, Lord, and almost be ashamed of our offering, of our talents, of the gold that you have given us. But we want a big return for our money. Now, Lord, as you're working in our lives and as you're working in our hearts and as you're working in our community, oh, Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, that the enemy would tie us up and make us stumble and he would take away our faith and have us paralyzed. But, Lord, that is not your plan. Oh, God, that we would walk with you, that we would run with you. Lord, that we would go on with you. It is our desire that as the years go by, the fire might burn all the brighter. Lord, that there might be more passion, more vigor. Lord, even in our infirmity and our weakness, we might be effective in the kingdom of God. Please, Father, help us. We have been so deceived, so fooled into thinking that we are hopeless and helpless. Oh, God. When we are weak, then we are strong in you. Oh God, help us, we pray. We do ask this for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.